Hello, and welcome to the Heathrow results for the 6 months to 30th June 2018. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Please note that this call is being recorded. Today, I am pleased to present John Holland-Kaye, Chief Executive Officer, and Javier Echave, the Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Very good. Well, welcome to the Heathrow half-year results for 2018. I'm John Holland-Kaye, the Chief Executive, and with me are Javier Echave, our Chief Financial Officer, and Sally Ding, our Treasurer and Director of Corporate Finance. So you'll know her well, and she's made a fantastic start in her new role. I'm just going to run through the operation highlights. Javi is going to go through the more exciting financial highlights, and then I'll come back and go through our strategic agenda. If you are following through the website, you can find the link through the invitation, and I will try to navigate you through the slides. So if you just look at the cover slide, normally we only ever show pictures of passengers. This time, really to signal that we are now in delivery mode, you will see people in hard hats and high-vis jackets who are getting involved in ground investigations. So expansion, which we've been talking about for many years, has now become real, and we might be a few years away from bulldozers, but we are getting on with it. So let me turn to slide three and just touch on our highlights. And we've had a really fantastic start to the year, the strongest opening for the year that we have ever had. The underlying picture is better value for passengers, with prices coming down about 1%, and record levels of service, which has led to record passenger numbers, about 2.5% up on the year. Very pleased to see that passengers have voted best major airport in Western Europe for the fourth year running. And we have an interesting competition between Terminal 5 and Terminal 2 now as to which will be voted the best airport terminal in the world. And this year, Terminal 2, for the first time, was voted the best terminal in the world, which is fantastic to see. In terms of financial performance, our revenues were up 2.3% to £1.4 billion, and that's a combination of more passengers, but also a very strong retail performance, with people choosing to spend more and more people participating. And our adjusted EBITDA up 1.6% to £848 million. And although you'll see that our costs overall are up a little bit, the underlying picture is of good continuing cost control. And where we've seen an increase in costs, it has been around the things you would expect, improving security, resilience, and service. And Javier will talk a little bit about that later. I'm very grateful to our investor base for supporting us with £1 billion of fundraising in the first half of this year. That's as much as we would normally raise in a full year, and that's continuing our strategy of diversification, bringing in new investors to our portfolio, but also preparing ourselves for expansion and for Brexit. And that gives us a two-year window, which I think is a very resilient position to be in. In terms of our strategic priorities, continuing to deliver better service and better value, strengthening the resilience of the airport, and I think fantastic news with the overwhelming vote in favor of Heathrow expansion in Parliament just under a month ago. That sets us up for expansion. And there's a good side and a bad side to that. The good side is that, of course, we will be broadly doubling the size of our asset base and our funding base over the next few years. So for financial markets, a fantastic opportunity. The downside is I will be banging on about this for the foreseeable future and giving you a running update. Moving on to slide five, just to give you a flavor for what we're seeing, you'll see pretty consistent growth in all of our markets of around 2%. Good growth in the UK, and that's on the back of the lower domestic charges we have, and domestic charges have come down by over 50% over the last 2 years. We've been driving growth in European short haul by again, lower charges, and that's supported growth there. But then we've been developing new routes in other markets such as Asia Pacific, and you'll see we've started some new routes to Changsha, Sanya and Xi'an in China, and we have some more new routes to China starting later this year. And while those are very welcome, they're typically two or three flights a week. We really need to have two or three flights a day to some of those markets, and expansion will help us with that. And you'll see from the comparison with other European hubs that typically their growth rates are two or three times higher than ours, and that just shows the potential we have given the much higher overall demand to fly to London over any of the other cities in Europe. And finally, cargo up about 2%, so good growth given that we are the UK's biggest port. Moving on to our service agenda on slide six, we've continued to see improved service standards across the business. Our airport service quality measure, which is a passenger feedback measure, was slightly ahead of the same period last year, so the best we have ever seen. And we still stand well ahead of our European competitors. And that's underpinned by very good punctuality and strong baggage performance in terms of connection rates. So these are leading levels across Europe, down a little bit in terms of departures punctuality, and that's largely driven by the bad weather during the winter. We had a week of ice and snow, and I'm pleased to say that as a mark of our progress, we stayed open throughout that time. Any passenger who was expecting to fly on those days got on their journey and made it to their destination. So a huge improvement from where we were back in 2010. But that did have a knock-on effect to departures punctuality and to baggage connections. Overall, though, very pleased with the way things are going. Moving on to slide seven, we've actually increased our capital investment by about £100 million year on year. And the kind of things you will see us investing in, more automation across the passenger journey, so more self bag drops and self check-in. We're moving towards a contactless payment system for Heathrow Express, as well as the new Crossrail services that are coming in, and a brand new flight connections center, and this will provide a much better experience for passengers traveling through the airport, so really transformational. Moving on to slide eight, just want to give you an update on Heathrow 2.0, which is our sustainable leadership program, which sets out to ensure that Heathrow sets the standard for how airports should develop and how they should operate. And it has four elements to it, making us a great place to work, a great place to live, supporting a thriving sustainable economy, and making a world worth traveling. And we've made good progress on all of these. Just to give you a couple of examples, we have a new noise action plan, which we have just been consulting on. Our fly clean and fly quiet program, where we incentivize airlines to bring their cleanest and quietest planes, has led to quite a significant improvement in the mix of planes we have coming in. And it's actually led to some of that lower pricing. So that's very good to see. And we've added some things in that we hadn't anticipated. So I got fed up with people turning up to work with cardboard disposable coffee cups. And if you're working in the same place every day, there is no need to have a disposable coffee cup. You can have a keep cup. So we banned all cardboard coffee cups from our head office. And overnight, people switched to keep cups. And that's taken about 500,000 out of landfill. And we're now doing the same with the airport. So we will be switching to, there's about 40 million coffee cups used at the airport every year. They will all be switching to recyclable by the end of the year. That in itself will more than double the amount of coffee cups recycled in the UK. That gives a sense for the scale of what we are doing. And those are the kind of actions we need to be taking to really take a lead. And I encourage any other companies to follow suit on that. So I'll keep on updating you more on that as we go. Heathrow expansion, bang on track. You'll be familiar with the outlines of the timetable. We have been through our first consultation. We're just collating the feedback of that. We've now had the overwhelming mandate from Parliament, and that really gives us the confidence to crack on now. So we're preparing for the second consultation, which will be in the first half of next year, and then setting up to secure a development consent order by the end of 2021. So we have a lot of work to do ahead of us, and we'll be spending about £160 million on expansion this year alone, most of it spent in the UK. And moving on to slide 10, just to give you a sense for where we are, we've set out that we need to get the right balance with expansion. It's got to be sustainable and work for local communities and the environment. And the kind of things we're doing behind that are targeting carbon neutral growth, and we'll be laying out our plan for how we do that shortly. And but part of that is by having as much constructed offsite as possible. And we will have 4 logistics hubs across the UK, which will not only reduce our carbon footprint, but also create jobs in the UK regions as we build. We're targeting for no more airport-related traffic as a result of expansion, and part of that will be about local jobs for local people. And David Blunkett has been leading our skills task force for the last 18 months, and we'll be reporting shortly as to how we do that. And finally, we will have an extension to the night flight ban from 5 hours today to 6.5 hours. So a really fantastic package of measures from a sustainability point of view. In terms of affordability, a very important issue for airlines and for consumers. We've worked very closely with airlines to reduce the capital costs by £2.5 billion in the last 18 months or so. So we're now down to £14 billion. And that will help us to meet the Secretary of State's challenge of keeping charges close to 2016 levels in real terms. And so we're working on the business case that delivers that. I'm afraid that means slightly less financing than we would otherwise have had, but gives us a very strong business case. And we've also been talking to other parties who might be interested in helping us to meet our goals around sustainability, affordability, and innovation. And I'm delighted that we've had over 100 organizations approach us with ideas for how we might do that, and we'll be filtering that down very shortly. And that includes airlines and design companies and energy companies, so a really good mix of partners. And then finally, in terms of financing, I'm sure we'll come onto this later. Just to remind you, this is entirely privately financed, no government money or underwriting at all. We'll maintain the existing funding platform that has served us well, and that's allowed us to treble the size of our asset base in the last 10 or 12 years, and we'll be looking to double it again in the next 10 or 12 years. We'll be maintaining our current investment grade credit ratings, and investors are very committed to supporting that, and that is underpinned by a stable regulatory environment. Now, we have been asked by the CAA to look at whether there are alternative commercial models that we could consider with the airlines, but anything we do along those lines will be compatible with our current funding arrangements. So that gives a good overview of where we are. We're in a great position, and I'll ask Javi to just run through the financial picture.
Thank you, John, and welcome to everyone. As John mentioned at the beginning, we do have an exciting set of results for passengers, airlines, and shareholders, but actually I'm pleased to say that for credit investors, actually we have fantastically boring, unpredictable set of results, which is what we like. So in terms of financial highlights, I will start with reference to the key headlines on slide 12. And I will start with EBITDA. Our financial performance was very strong in the first half of 2018, with adjusted EBITDA up 1.6%. In terms of revenue growth of 2.3% reflects more passengers, lower average aeronautical charge per passenger, as well as increased retail and services revenue. Also in the period, we saw additional resilience to deliver excellent service and expansion costs in the period, but that put some pressure on our overall operating costs. However, operating costs per passenger were down in real terms, reflecting the benefits of the efficiencies that we have implemented in the last few years as part of this regulatory period. In terms of balance sheet, the growth of our regulatory asset base reflects further investment to transform the airport and grew slightly faster than our net debt. Looking at net debt, we continue to have a healthy headroom to leverage trigger and covenant levels, and we have implemented all the precautions that you should expect from a responsible business ahead of Brexit. $1 billion financing implemented over H1 this year, extending our liquidity horizon now to March 2020, while adding further diversification and expanding our investor base at very competitive rates for the benefit of passengers and airlines. Let's now take a closer look to some of the details. Turning to slide 13, our results demonstrate that we continue delivering a better value for passengers at lower prices, with average aeronautical income per passenger going down almost 1%, while maintaining strong service levels and resilience. Aeronautical revenue overall was up 1.7% to £828 million, driven by our strong traffic growth, as John mentioned, 2.5% in the first 6 months of the year. The impact of growth and inflation was slightly offset by some yield dilution, as we saw a higher proportion of cleaner and quieter aircraft. And it's worthwhile remember that this yield dilution will be recovered via our regulatory mechanism in 2 years' time. We enjoy strong momentum in terms of retail income with more passengers and higher spend per participating passenger despite the appreciation of the sterling pound seen in the period. Overall, retail income was up 4.8% or 2.2% when measured on a per passenger basis. With the currency impact we experienced back in 2016 and 17, we have seen a moderation in that appreciation as we cycle over the 2-year anniversary of the EU referendum. But we continue seeing management actions driving growth in retail concessions, catering, and advertising. Finally, it's worth touching on Heathrow Express, where revenue declined by £2 million in the year, reflecting a slightly lower passenger volume in the period, while we are transitioning to a much integrated connectivity with Crossrail, which is absolutely critical to expand our catchment area, as well as pivotal to deliver our sustainability commitments for the future. As a reminder, it's the same line I mentioned in every results presentation. It's worthwhile remembering that we are operating in a regulatory single deal framework, which means that the larger the commercial value we can generate from our premium retail space, the lower the charges to our airlines and passengers. Let's focus now on costs on slide 14. We have a very firm and relentless focus on reducing our cost base, but that cannot be at any price. While our focus remains on implementing further cost efficiencies and revenue development, we will continue making the right choices, and we will not compromise on service or security delivered to our passengers and the resilience of our operation. In the first quarter, John alluded to the additional winter resilient costs that we put in place to make sure that every single passenger enjoy the level of service that they're expecting from us. In addition to those, we also increase our investment in resilience, security, and passenger experience to continue servicing the record number of passengers we welcome so far this year, and lastly, in expansion. Overall, operating costs increased 3.3%. Particularly important, our operating cost per passenger is still declined over 4% in real terms in this context, demonstrating the benefits of the efficiencies implemented over the current regulatory period. Looking at slide 15, the strong operating performance we had in the first half of 2018 generated nearly £850 million of cash from operations. This was sufficient to cover all our capital investment, external cash interest costs, debt accretion, and part of the dividends paid to our ultimate shareholders. In the period, we paid £228 million in dividends to our ultimate shareholders, which Heathrow SP contributed with £212 million. The rest came from cash held in entities above SP. Sustainable dividends, obviously, is to our ultimate shareholders, is the best illustration of the strength of our performance and is consistent with the current investment maturity profile of Heathrow. When looking at debt and taking into consideration all the cash flows generated in the period, net debt increased by less than 1%. Continuing on the topic of cash generation, slide 16 reflects the cumulative sources and uses of cash from operations when we celebrate the 10th anniversary of our successful, well-proven capital structure in August 2018. I would love to take a few moments to stress that the leading position that Heathrow has today among global hubs is the result of years of investment in improving our service, while our debt metrics has strengthened in parallel. After more than £12 billion of investment, 90% of the cash generated from the operation of Heathrow has been reinvested in transforming our safety, service, resilience, and punctuality, making Heathrow the best hub airport in Europe and reaching top global levels of performance for the benefit of passengers and airlines. At the same time, you can see in the chart, our financing has strengthened, reflecting our commitments with all of you, investor community, with our ability to cover interest payments almost doubling what we had back in 2008. These charts also remind us of our shareholders' ongoing support since Heathrow was taken private back in 2006, while distributions have remained moderate during that time. I hope this chart illustrates our strong financial track record of transforming Heathrow, and we believe that we cannot be in better financial position to face our next expansion plans. Turning to our gearing position in slide 17, we continue to maintain a robust balance sheet. The gearing ratio at Heathrow Finance has decreased slightly compared to December 2017, primarily driven by our regulatory asset base growth, which grew faster than our net indebtedness. As anticipated, when comparing to the first half of 2017, our gearing is higher following the work done by the team in 2017 to collapse the four layers of our capital structure into three layers going forward. At Heathrow Finance, that means that the buffer to covenant levels is expected to remain temporarily at 2 to 3 percentage points of RAP compared to our traditional 5% buffer as we complete this overall process. The target headroom of 5% will be restored back when the covenant level moves to 92.5% no later than September 2019. When you're looking at these metrics, we continue to maintain a comfortable headroom to the trigger and covenant leverage levels across our different debt tranches with over £600 million of EBITDA headroom at Heathrow Finance, for instance. Turning into slide 18 and talking about financing, our debt financing strategy is unchanged and we can be summarized around the three pillars that you can see in the slide. Stronger liquidity, better diversification, and longer duration. In 2018, we have seen, led by Sally, a successful progress on all the three fronts with close to £1 billion raised globally, now extending our liquidity horizon to March 2020, or a full year after Brexit, absolutely critical in terms of liquidity. Looking at the second quarter of the year, our focus shifted to capitalizing selectively on private placement opportunities that most of you have been part, where we raised around £350 million in Class A debt, including an innovative 40-year, £160 million RPI-CPI flipper bond. We also raised around £380 million of Class B debt, to be drawn in March 2020, and this reinforces the confidence and support of the credit community in Heathrow's credit strength. It's worthwhile noting that our maturity profile now extends to 2058, and 60% of our current debt portfolio has a maturity date after the expected opening date of our new runway, which signals the enormous support from the credit community to continue backing Heathrow over this next phase of construction and growth. I can only thank you again for all of you individually and the institutions that you represent for the continued support that and trust that you continue showing to us. Looking ahead, we will continue monitoring global capital markets and expect to be back later this year in a Class A format in particular. Turning to slide 19, and before moving to our strategic outlook, I would like to pause a few seconds and give you a brief update on our thoughts regarding Brexit. Firstly, we are encouraged by government's approach to the aviation industry in its negotiation with Europe and their European counterparts. Our position remains one where we will advocate for a deal that ensures continued access to the European single aviation market and maintains efficient flows of people and processing of goods. We have no material concern on the outcome of this negotiation, but obviously as a cautious CFO, it's also my responsibility to ensure that we have an appropriate level of financial resilience. And to that effect, I would like to point you to a few facts. First of all, our liquidity horizon extends now to March 2020, which is 1 year post-Brexit deadline. And the material headroom to our covenant leverage level is in excess of 20% of our annual revenues. In other words, Heathrow could remain fully closed for more than 10 weeks and we could still meet our financing covenants. To wrap up, I'm moving on to slide 20 before handing back to John to more strategic developments. Worthwhile pointed that we started 2018 with a strong foot despite external weather challenging, setting us in great position for the rest of the year. We deliver better service at lower cost to a record number of passengers while achieving further EBITDA growth. In addition to our strong financial performance, our successful activities in international debt capital markets provided further evidence that Heathrow remains in a strong position to deliver expansion entirely through private finance. Looking ahead, we expect our full-year traffic and financial performance to remain broadly in line with the forecast published and shared with investors in our June investor report, and we also expect to maintain comfortable headroom to our covenant level. With that, I would like to thank you for your attention again, and I will now hand back to John to review our strategic development. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you, Javier. So our vision, as you may know, is to give passengers the best airport service in the world. We're now well into the top 10 of global airports as rated by passengers. That's a long way ahead of where we were 10 years ago when we were solidly in the bottom 10 of airports around the world. So really is a great credit to the commitment of our investors, both debt and equity, in investing in the rebuilding of Heathrow over that time. We have four priorities that back that up. Mojo, which is making Heathrow a great place to work, transforming customer service, beating the plan, and sustainable growth. And we have to get the right balance between all of those things. We have made good progress on each of those. On the Mojo, I'm very grateful for the support of many in this room and on the line who took part in the Midnight Marathon. That is not an easy thing to go through, but very worthwhile, unique experience, and helped to raise thousands of pounds for our local and national charities. So I'm very grateful for that. And one of the other things we introduced recently was a free healthcare app for colleagues, which allows them to get online GP services 24/7. And that has been extremely popular as part of our Mojo program. What we have coming up, we're looking to make a step change in safety. We have a new chief operating officer who just joined us from Dubai, where he was in a similar role. So he brings great experience, and he is leading the whole of the airport community in improving operational health and safety across the piece and getting it more to the sort of oil and gas sector from an operational point of view. And we also have our pension salary sacrifice scheme, which is going to be very popular with many of our colleagues. In terms of transforming service, I've talked about the new flight connection center, and very pleased with the improvements we've made around the PRM service. That's our service for passengers with reduced mobility, which is now rated good. We want to get that up to the very good level in the next year or so. And we also have some new service offerings coming up, including new hotels in the central terminal areas. So that'll be the first time we've had hotels for T3 and T2. In terms of Beat the Plan, we've talked about some of the new routes and also the pension deal, which is a buy-in that we organize with Legal & General, which reduces some of the risk around our defined benefit pension plan. So very pleased with that. Coming up, we have some new services. We've got Shenzhen opening as well and some additional routes into China. And we've also been modernizing our radio infrastructure across the airport. I've talked a lot about sustainable growth. We'll surely be coming up with our master plan options and our shortlist for both logistics hubs and innovation partners. And, of course, it's not just about expansion of some of the other things we're doing to drive our leadership role, including clamping down on modern slavery, given Heathrow's role as one of the world's great ports. So a lot going on, and I will update you on those as we go on at the full year. So that concludes our presentation. It's been a great start to the year. I hope we will continue to make progress on all fronts just as well in the second half of the year. And I'd now like to open up for any questions we might have in the room. And we've got some microphones if anyone is in need of one of those. So any questions over here? Yes, we've got a question down on the end. I hope it's about the flipper bond, because I've got all the answers on that.
I was just wondering if you could give us your full-year dividend expectations, and then going forward, just your expectations around giving up dividends or equity contributions with regards to funding T3. Is that something we'll hear about next year, or is that still a few years away yet?
Javi, do you want to cover that?
Yeah. So in terms of dividends, obviously, we published our latest outlook as part of the investor report. As part of that report, we share with the markets our forecast of £455 million for this year. Obviously, we will need to see how the summer goes in terms of traffic, but at this stage, we don't have an updated outlook on that. In terms of in terms of capital structure going forward, John mentioned earlier that we expect expansion to be funded with a combination of equity and debt. At this stage, we are very clear, and we have been very clear from day one, that we have a commitment with Credit Investor Community to maintain our current credit investment levels. And in terms of the specific details between mix of equity and debt, it's still slightly earlier. We need to first close our master plan, and then from there we will have a better and final assessment of risk, which will allow us to engage with credit rating agencies to finalize the final proportion between equity and debt. But as John mentioned, we are on the back of a 12-year transformation of Heathrow, where we have tripled the size of the organization, and the capital structure that we have today has proven to work very well for both company and investors. Therefore, at this stage, I wouldn't anticipate material changes on that regard.
Great. Any other questions in the room? Well, should we open up the lines for any questions on the line?
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen on the telephones, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. We'll now have a brief pause while telephone questions are being registered. And our first question comes from the line of James Sparrow of BNP Paribas. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Just one question, really. Just trying to understand the evolution of your OPEX, basically. It seems to sort of increased sort of quarter on quarter. I'm just trying to understand exactly where that's coming from. Obviously, a lot of the winter effect was in sort of February, March. So it's not clear to me exactly where those additional costs are coming from. So if you could sort of maybe just give a little bit more colour on that, that'd be great. Thanks.
Yes, and so if I touch on some of the main elements, and Javi, you can correct me when I get it wrong. You're right. There's about £5 million of costs around winter, although a lot of that would have been incurred in March when we had the winter. Some of it will have actually fallen into the second quarter. One of the other significant factors is we now take on all of the costs of the Metropolitan Police, which is about £8 million a year. That's a cost we've absorbed over the last couple of years. And so we'll have a half-year reflection of that in the first two quarters. And we have also got about £5 million of expansion-related costs coming in there as well. So those are, the main building blocks you'll see coming through in cost. And some other smaller factors. We now have started our own landside security team, which is an additional cost that we've taken on, but that will really start to have the biggest impact in the second half. Not material in the scheme of things, but it's an indication of the way in which we are investing in security as well as service.
Okay, thank you.
Does that help? Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, just to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question via the telephones, please press 01 on your telephone keypads. And we have no further questions on the telephone line at this time.
Fantastic. Well, it's a warm day here. I just want to thank you for coming to the meeting or for dialing in on the lines. We really appreciate your support. We will need more of it over the next 2 years as we go through a very exciting period. And if you are having a summer break, I hope you have a very pleasant time, and most of all, you travel through Heathrow. Thank you.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you for attending. Telephone participants, you may disconnect your lines.